Simon Royal's in for a Cordial Award today. Simon heads our National Health Water Coalition. And the level of underfunding of Māori primary health care provided by Māori has finally been calculated in a groundbreaking 66-page document released to the Crown and the Ministers of Health and Associate Minister late last week. The report was commissioned by Six Waitangi Tribunal claimants, and the government was also asked to commit to negotiating compensation with the Māori health organisations. The findings by an independent research group, Sapere, were based on extensive evidence, which went back to 2003 and provided a robust formula that indicates significant historical underfunding to Māori primary health organisations and providers. A warm welcome to you, Simon. Thank you for joining us on today's program. Ngā mihi nui ka koe.
Yeah, morena tau.
Morena, Simon. So we come up with a formula. We come up with the underfunding, gross underfunding across decades. But what assurances might there be that the Crown will accept the report's findings, Simon?
Well, that's a very good question. We delivered the report to the ministers last week on Thursday, and it'd been submitted to the Waitangi Tribunal for their consideration yesterday. It is now in the public domain. It's a very, very significant report because this is the first report of its kind ever produced, and it's produced by a very well-regarded group of economists. Now, what the ministers had to say was that they were very thankful for receiving the report. They felt that it's a very important part of the jigsaw puzzle in addressing health inequities suffered by Māori communities, by Māori whānau. It will be taken up by the transition unit that is responsible for the design of the health system going forward. On the matter of compensation for the claimants and for Māori providers and Māori primary health organisations, we will have to wait and see how that all plays out. So we don't have a response as yet. As you can imagine, it's only been several days now. So we will no doubt receive the Crown response in time.
Well, there's talk of some compensation. Are you able to share with us a figure that was arrived at?
Well, the figure that was calculated in the report is very significant. It's a very large number. It's up to $531 million worth of underfunding over the last 20-odd years, the two decades. Other figures that were calculated by the economists included examination of what should have been paid to Māori providers as a result of what was envisioned in the original government policy of the day called the Primary Health Care Strategy, and that's calculated at $1 billion a year. And then if you add in the fact that Māori suffer a greater level of the health burden or greater level of disease burden in the community, the costs of addressing those health inequities over that period of time has been calculated around $5 billion a year. So these very, very large sums of money, no doubt governments have great difficulty in compensation along the lines of the figures that I've just mentioned. But there's no question that it aligns with my own lived experience of being working in the health sector for the last 20 years as a working in Māori health, that district health boards have disinvested in Māori health and Māori providers and Māori primary health organisations when they should have been significantly investing in shifting the burden of the larger quantum of resources over to Māori organisations and into Māori communities. So those are the types of figures that we're talking about. They're very large sums of money, and one imagines that there's going to have to be, and to address health inequity, as this government has demonstrated or has declared that it's interested in, It is going to have to significantly resource all of us that work in the Māori health community, including Māori whānau themselves.
When you pitch high, there's a risk of scaring off the opposite party, and they'll run for the hills. I accept, as many of our listeners would too, that you know this gross underfunding has put a handbrake on Māori health aspirations. We're trying to resolve that with the establishment of a Māori health authority. And it's interesting how we've tried to put a price on intergenerational ill health directly attributable to underfunding. Hoano, it sounds a little bit like our treaty regime where our people have been forced to accept 2 cents in the dollar deals. Do you think that we might be looking at something of that nature, Simon?
Well, there's no question that our government can't will find it very difficult to redress. Remember, this is backward-looking. The government is going to want to look forward. It's going to want to look to correct the resource allocation, the allocation of funding, the issue of compensation. Looking backwards is one thing. The looking forward is another thing. At the end of the day, these numbers are the facts and the truth from our perspective, and they are undertaken and given because of the quality of the work that they have produced, and all they're doing is producing the facts. How governments choose to deal with these numbers, of course, is a different matter, and you're right to draw comparisons with the way in which Raupatu claims and various land and natural resource claims have been settled, which have been not even 2 cents in the dollar. But I think that they are different in the sense that the government will first of all look forward to ensure that its future funding algorithms and its funding formulas adequately address health inequity, given now that we have enormous amounts of data available to us that we didn't have in the early 2000s. The issue of compensation, there is no question in my mind that the government couldn't compensate enough for the consequences that have been felt by Māori communities as a result of this underfunding. No doubt this has an impact on mortality and morbidity. No doubt it has an impact on whether providers were able to survive during this period of time. And I know for a fact that many, many providers could not survive in the economic climate given the socioeconomic circumstances of the communities that they were trying to serve. In other words, our people couldn't afford the co-payment arrangements for many Māori providers, so they suffered a lot of bad debt. They carried a lot of bad debt. They carried an enormous cost in terms of trying to attract GP doctors and nurses to come and work in their clinics. Locums are more expensive than your doctors who work in these high-needs environments. So I'm giving you a deeper background and a sense of really what has occurred over these past 20 years. And the impact, in my view, can never be compensated for adequately looking backwards. But the Crown does have an obligation to consider this matter in the context of the resources that it's allocating for a range of other activities. We can see infrastructure investments across the country for harbour bridges. We can see huge investments going into addressing this, dealing with COVID-19, vaccination programs. We can see enormous investments being made by the government. So this will be a factor in people's minds. Remember, we're not in negotiation with the government yet. We're simply presenting facts and are waiting for their response. And, of course, the response from the Māori community in general across the board as to what this has meant. Hopefully, the report provides a talking point and a catharsis for some Māori communities and Māori providers who had a felt sense that they were being underfunded and weren't given sufficient resources and were being penalised simply because we were Māori providers. And hopefully now they can at least feel some sense of relief for the fact that this has actually now been a proven fact.